All right, 1, 2, let's go then. God has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I've been filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Let's study the word of God briefly. Now, let me start, all right, where I want to start from. Just want to share something with us briefly, just to encourage our hearts, okay? You know, when I came to Enugu many years ago, my wife and I belonged to, well, not like belonged, but we had a circle of friends. Do you understand? And you know what happened? One by one, they left us, and we remained. One by one, you know. I was easy to teach here, but I think about a week ago. One by one, they just left. The next thing we realized were, of that group of young couples, we're all young couples, all of us married about the same time, you understand? We're all about the same age, you know, just sort of us like that. We used to hang out in each other's home a lot, you know. You go to somebody's house, we literally would sit down there, somebody would come and roast to you outside, we'll be eating and gisting. So it was really very interesting when they all left. And they left one after the other until we remained alone of that group. But then it was still remaining. Okay? Now, be honest with you, it started feeling lonesome after a while. Yeah, it happens. You start feeling a bit lonely. That's when I told her, my wife looked and said she didn't have friends. And I said, the ones we had before, we didn't go out to go and make them. So I'm not going to look and say, hello, friends needed, any application from here? I said, I wasn't going to do anything like that. There's a reason I'm talking about that. One of the things that happen in life, you know, and they use it to pressure people. Used to pressure young people to get into bad habits as if you are the only one. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. You are the only one, as if you are the only one not doing this. You are the only one that's where you are. And a lot of people get discouraged like that. So they now say things like, if you can't beat them, what do you do? And that's it. If you cannot beat them, you join them. Which, of course, you know, is a satanic counsel. It's a satanic saying. It's a satanic principle. There's nothing like, if you can't beat them, you join them. Just stay on your own. Do you understand my point? I'm not trying to beat anybody. I just want to obey God. Do you follow my point? Yeah, it's so important. No, so don't ever get discouraged. That's one thing I want to remind us of. Don't ever get discouraged as a child of God. Know that you will not always be on the popular path. Do you hear what I said? You know what Jesus said? About the road that leads to life. And what's the last thing? A few. Very few. There are very few. There are not plenty. Only few people find it. So if you are alone, it's a matter of encouragement. If you are thinking uniquely, it's a good thing, it's not a bad thing. Don't ever feel like you owe anybody any explanation. You don't. If you are feeling, if you are alone in a particular way of thought, it's not a big deal. It's a normal thing. Jesus said that narrow, the one that leads to destruction, you know what? It's wide. And how many people are on it?
Many.
Many. Many. If everybody is thinking the way you are thinking, go and pray. It's very likely something is wrong with your thought process. If you're in agreement, they're talking about a country, you just realize that what you are saying is exactly what they say in the beer parlor next door. So, but I don't go to beer parlor. Okay, in the bus, you enter the bus the other day. Or you tune the radio, every radio commentator is telling you the same thing. I had a few discussions with some people today. One of them said that, don't understand why people just get into power, they just change. I said, they don't change. They start seeing what you never saw. I will forget my point. Like NLC sits down there, say, oh, 400,000 or nothing as minimum wage. Take one of them, make them one of the government negotiators tomorrow. They are dropping it to 45. They are dropping it to 45. All that noise they are making, you'll be amazed. How did this guy change overnight? He didn't change. What happened is that the information he was supplied with changed. There are things he did not know, staying on the NLC side. That when he got to the government side, he began to see. So when we just enter into government, you know, people say that it's because they are chopping. When they are chopping now, they won't talk again. It's not true. First, there's a rule about what you say. When you are there, that's one, there's a rule. You don't just open your mouth, you'll be talking anyhow, all right? It breaks some codes of conduct, all right, issues.
But then secondly, you start getting aware of things. If they say, okay, this is the minimum wage you want, you will not be among those who are calculating how we are going to pay it before you're on the side of those who wanted to collect it. The amount of information they have starts changing. That is why sometimes you see the thoughts they express may seem to be changing. Now, what I'm just saying, okay, let me say this as part of what I'm trying to say. A lot of people get carried away in trying to be popular. What I mean, not really popular, in trying to belong to they want to sound informal. I was telling my wife the other day about somebody I know. I said, look, he doesn't seem to be into the knowledge of politics and a lot of social events. It's just not his type of person. I said, but so when I'm always angry when we get into a crowd of people, he starts yapping government. He starts insulting the government, starts criticizing everything government is doing. Don't mind them. They just want to distract us. Don't mind them. I look at him, I say, you know you don't know what you're talking about. Now you're in the midst of everybody, so you have to sound like everybody. And that's one thing as a Christian you must never do. Do you get my point? You don't owe anybody to like you. Do you follow the point? You're not like, let me do things so that they can like me. Who cares whether you like me or you don't? I really don't care. As long as God is pleased with me, and his life in life, that should be your focus. Is God pleased with me? Don't ever be afraid to stand out. Don't ever be afraid to be different. Don't ever be. Because many people in life, they're actually confused. All that talk they are talking is what? Ignorance. They're just speaking like the way you have been speaking to, joining them. And if you stand up and show that you have direction, you'll be surprised. Many will come to you. You know Nicodemus? You know he went to see Jesus when? At night. It's night they will come and say, oh, well, how now? Hey, that thing you were saying, please, can you? When we are in front of everybody, they will be talking, hey, no, government, so be there, nation, crazy, we're not going anywhere. They'll be talking. Then when you give some words of, you know, direction, now come and see later, say, hey, that thing you were saying, can you advise me, please? Please, I hope you're getting my point. Don't ever, ever feel like you owe anybody to join the group. All right? The road that leads to life is narrow. The gate is, the Bible is what, straight, that this is tight. And few people are found on it. Now, I began by saying that, see, sometimes when you realize you're alone, especially when people are leaving you, that is the one that, again, is most looking for, the one that hits you the more, like you, the one that you feel. Like maybe we are few, right, on this road. But at least we are 10. 10 is few, but the other people are at 1,000. Then I wake up one day, of the 10, 6 have joined the 1,000. After a while you look, then you start questioning that, look, am I right? There's something wrong with me. Am I sure? And listen, it's good to have those thoughts, but go and pray. Go and pray. Go and kneel down and pray and tell the Lord, look, I just want to be sure. And when you are sure, after praying, and the Holy Spirit has helped you to have understanding, to have clarity, step out again and be bold. Because a time will come, you'll be the only person. A time will come, a time may come, let's be like that. You'll be the only person. I don't like to do what everybody is doing. I told you God gave me one wisdom years ago. I can't even remember how it happened. But if we stand here now, suddenly everybody starts running. I'm the last person to run. I've spent my energy trying to identify why they are running. God gave that wisdom to me. Even if I hear the thing that they heard, like maybe we are here now, you're here, you know, like gunshots. Everybody starts running. I want to identify who's shooting, at who, before I start running. Say, but if you don't run, you may get shot. If you run, you may get shot. Sometimes where you are running from is the safest. In fact, like they say in the armed forces, if you heard the gunshot, it's likely you were not hit. Depends on what he didn't hear it. Do you get my point? Now, so I learned that thing. God helped me long ago. Everybody's running one direction. I start asking, why are they running? Jesus, run. I say, no, why are they running? Do you know what? I dig my foot in. I don't move until I find out why. And you know what? I've hardly ever been wrong. Most times, there was no reason to run. The one I told that happened here, that one of my senior colleagues, he was like me, but his own from age was much older. He saw cars turning, everybody going off in the other direction. Every car turning and they were speeding off. But he said, why? Nobody could answer So he didn't turn. He kept on going where he was going. Wanted to get there and find out what caused it. School children that came late were running away from the teachers. The teachers were catching late comers. So when they saw the teachers, they turned and started running. And people going about their business turned to and started running. Meanwhile, they were not late for anything. It's so important I say it. Don't be afraid to be different. Now, next point I should make, okay? Is that different people... Now, let's read this. Judges chapter 7. Let's start with Judges chapter 7. This came to my heart during the week. Please let me emphasize to you, most people are wrong. Did you hear what I said? What did I say?
Most people
are wrong. That statement, then, you should go and write it down somewhere where you'll be seeing it. It's so crucial you get it. Most people you speak to are wrong. They are just wrong. Why? Because they don't know. But they are talking. That statement that I've just told you, don't forget it. Everybody is doing it doesn't make it right. Everybody is saying it doesn't make it correct. The fact is that most persons we listen to, they are wrong in this life. When Israel left Egypt, the number of adult men there were not less than 600,000 thereabouts. I'm not very sure of the figures, but they said they were about 2 million individuals. So at just 600,000, let's assume half of them are male, half are female. So of the ones that are male, that's about half were adults. More than half were over 20. God judged people who were 20 and above. Do you know all of them, minus three of the men, all minus three, said they could not enter the promised land. Of over half a million, possibly three quarters of a million persons, men, adult men, only three said they could enter the promised land. Who are the three? Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. As for Aaron, I don't know what he said. I've been looking at that bro with suspicion for a long time. I don't know what he said. But only these three, of course, we know the ones that spoke prominently, and Moses agreed with them, were Joshua and Caleb. But they were the only ones right. Every other person was wrong. Now, this is the funny part. Were there giants in the land?
Yes.
No, answer me properly. Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
There were giants in the land?
Yes, sir.
Good. So those who said there were giants in the land, they were right. Good enough. Joshua and Caleb said so too. Were the giants very fearsome compared to them?
Yes.
Yeah. Were they fearful looking?
Yes.
Good. So the facts actually are not the things we are arguing over. Are there giants in the land? Of course. Of course. Of course. Are the giants terrible? Of course. Is there unemployment? Of course. Didn't they see shut everything down? Of course they did. Is food expensive? Most certainly. Who said they are not? Who said it's not? Of course it is. Fact. We can see them. We are not arguing. But what did they deduce from what they saw? It's not the issue. Only those, of course, amongst the 12 spies, only two, they will put the whole of the men in Israel there. I'm just praying the women for a moment. All right? Only three men said they were able to enter, even though they saw the trouble. Now, my emphasis, only three out of over 600,000 were right. Everybody else was wrong. Everybody else was wrong. Please, this thing I'm saying, don't forget it. Everybody is doing it. It's the very reason why you should be slow. This is a trend now. It's the reason why you should take it slow. It's very crucial what I'm saying. Most people are wrong. Bear it in mind. They are wrong because they don't know. They don't have direction. You know what I found out? A lot of wrong people are very bold. In fact, no. I've seen reports by psychologists. And they found out that the people that are wrong are usually the more convincing when they are talking. That their ignorance gives them confidence. Because, look, now this is a funny thing. I don't like to say it, but that's how they said it. That stupid people are the ones that feel the wisest. Did you hear what I said? Wise people are the ones that doubt themselves a lot. That people don't know. Nami, they tell you. And you're looking at the Nami that is telling you. Okay, now you, they tell me. Who are you? What are your qualifications? I've seen people argue on things that they... In fact, sometimes when it happens and I'm on the knowledgeable side, I go and pray. I say, God, please help me. Help I don't talk like this on things I don't know. Because usually things like that, things I really have information on. Remember one day I went to a barber shop. One woman, I don't know why your child have a problem on the head. You carry it to barber shop to ask for advice on how to cure it. So I happened to have been in the barber shop. Everybody was telling the woman what to do. I was looking at all of them. All of them had a prescription. The barber had, the barbie that came before the people, they had, everybody has something to say. So after a while, I pulled the woman aside. Madam, come. I said, I'm a doctor. Oh, yes, you are. I said, yes. Now this is what you will do. Get a piece of paper. I wrote something for her. Buy that medicine. Give him one tablet every day for 2 weeks. He'll be fine. Okay? It's not expensive. Thank you, sir. But why are we looking at everybody? They all have something to say. Of course, everything they said was wrong. Look, I was listening to them. What am I saying? Don't let people's braggado confuse you. Don't let them convince you. They may not know. Most people talk about this country, they know nothing. Say, we understand Nigeria, so let's talk here. Do you know most people you talk to have never been to the north? They've never been there. But let them tell you the quality of roads in the north. The first day, it was many years ago, I saw some young doctors gathered, resident doctors. But I went to the resident doctor's room that time because my friend was there. And I heard these people talk. When they finished talking about the north of Nigeria, I was like, which north of Nigeria? How the roads are good, not the one we are going through here. When I spoke up, one guy, do you know, the way it was calm. I said, which country, which road? Where did you serve? I served in the north, all right, my NYSC. And I knew how bad then the road between Wukari and Jalingo was. The road did not exist. You could drive it pretty speedily because, one, the gullies were so deep, were like express roads. So you just go, vroom, inside, you come out. And secondly, it was dry season. And then third, the guys who drive around there, you just go, and, the way they drive, it's a different matter. So you can imagine I came and I said, if you go to northern Nigeria, the road, I said, which road? I don't think you have seen the roads. But the point I'm making is that when you hear them tell you what's going on in this country, the one that used to make me marvel the most are those who tell you the conspiracies that has been hatched in the center of the Emir's palace. And you are wondering, how did you know? If you go and check, they heard from somebody who spoke with confidence. And that one heard from somebody who spoke with confidence. And that one manufactured the story. Fact. Again, I'm trying to get something across to you. Don't follow people. They don't have direction. They don't have direction. They will tell you, if you just get to that country, this is how things are there. And you're only, have you been there before? No. How did you know? Now, my brother tell me now. Your brother told you this. I'm quoting one comedian. And they're there sitting down advising people who they think should go there to. And they're telling how things are in a place they have no idea. See, let me tell you, in this life, if you don't know God, you don't pray, you're in trouble. People will confuse you. Please bear what I said in mind. I don't know why I'm just repeating that again and again. Maybe somebody here this evening, your friends have gathered and convinced you. Hey, another thing. Some people, they are not just trying to convince you. Well, I'm like, they are not just sounding confident. They are liars. Yeah. They lie. They just sit down. You know why they lie? Well, not like they just want to come out to lie. It's more of, they want to impress. And the only way to impress you is to appear as if they know what they are saying. They know what they are saying is empty. And this is on social media. People do anything they can to get traffic. Yes. Yeah. They say anything. They will just say anything that will gain traffic to their site. So be careful. I will not say much more than that in that regard. Just be careful. The main thing I want to say, I said she opened somewhere, right? Yes, Judges chapter 7. I want to encourage the lonely person. I want to encourage the one that's alone. You know, sometimes your friends will now be talking behind your back. Say, don't mind him. That's how he does. As if he's the only one that knows God. Say, the rest of us don't read the Bible. Again, the only thing that it should drive you to is prayer. If you must ask for counsel, please be careful. Go for people who know the scriptures, who pray, who inspire faith in your heart. Because you know those who inspire faith. Judges chapter 7. Now, for time's sake, we know the story, the background story, so I won't read too many. You know, Gideon was chosen by God, right? To go and liberate the people from the Midianites. And he had a lot of fears. You don't blame him. He had been a part of the oppressed nation for a long time. So it was therefore appropriate for him to have fears. So in chapter 6, God helped him out with his fears. So he selected men to go to war in chapter 7. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him, they rose early and camped beside the spring of Harod. And the camp of Midian was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian into their hands." It's very funny. God said, "For Israel will become boastful, saying, 'My own power has delivered me.'" That the people are too many. That is, God said, "You have too much money for me to help you that business. You are too connected for me to help you with that job. So I want you to go and apply where you don't know anybody." That's what God was saying. "Want to start which business?" He said, "The Lord, how much do you have?" Able to raise at 6.5 million. God said, "Okay, you know what? Go and spend it. When it remains 500,000, you'll come back." Why? You have too much money. You will think that your money helped you succeed, helped you start. And I don't want you to think like that. So what I want you to do is to go and spend the money first. So let's postpone this opening for 6 months while you go and have fun. Eat. Be merry. When was your birthday again? So that was last week. Celebrate it this coming week. Choose an event center and print small IV cards. Three-course meal. And invite a pastor to come and minister. Turn your birthday to a crusade. When you see the bill, birthday, 3 million. You know your friends will say you don't hammer. Because how much remains? Say 3.5. Say, that is still too much. Say, when last did you sponsor some gospel activity? It's been a while. You gather a few names. So you send all of them, 500K. You finish. And the money remains just 425,000. God said, come. Let's now start. Say, sir, this cannot even pay rent. Say, that is the idea. That was all God did with Gideon. And by the way, you don't have to start from 6.5 million down to 425. If you're on 425 now, be happy. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah, rejoice. You are not disadvantaged in any way. So God said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian into their hands. For Israel will become boastful, saying, 'My own power has delivered me.' Now therefore, come, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, 'Whoever is afraid and trembling, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead.'" So what happened? 22,000 left, but 10,000 still remained. God said, "Now, wow." The Lord said, "The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water and I will test them there. For time's sake, I will go down to, at the end of the test," verse 6. "Now the number of those who laughed, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people kneeled to drink water. The Lord said to Gideon, 'I will deliver you with the 300 men who laughed and will give the Midianites into their hands. So let all the other people go, each man to his home.'" So the 300 men took the people's provisions and their trumpets into their hands. Let's just stop reading here. Okay? Now, just to let us know that God does not always require a multitude. That's the point. 22,000 left. It remained 10,000. What does that tell us? Initially, they were how many? 32,000. Yes. God whittled them down until they were just 300. Sometimes we are being whittled down. This hit me a few days ago. I think about 2 days ago. Like I was saying, when people seem to be leaving you, especially in matter of faith, okay? Sometimes I look at it and say, "Don't worry. Don't worry. God is reducing the number to 300. Yes. See, there are different principles that operate in life depending on how you are looking at stuff. All right? God has a minimum number he would need in a particular land for certain things. But when it comes to deliverance like this, okay? Sometimes God will say, wait, don't worry. I don't want many people. I don't want a large crowd. Bear that in mind. But sometimes, like in a country like ours, I don't want to say too many things about a nation now, about what God is doing in countries, because God has a purpose for each land. He does. Okay? But what I want to emphasize, okay, today, is that God doesn't depend on many people. He doesn't. Because a lot of times, you know, there are times even Christians will tell you that we have prayed enough. That person has just gone home. Once, just know that we are going down to 300. We started with 32,000. A lot of Christians, why did they say that? Is hope that is delayed. I was talking with a man of God a few days, that's yesterday and the day before. And we found out, that we're just observing things, that one of the greatest temptations, or should I say greatest temptations? Okay, yes. One of the greatest temptations people face, especially preachers, is delayed results. And many times, I think it's Apostle and I today speaking. You know what preachers now do? Now, there is nothing else to preach but Christ. What did I say? Well, you know, Christ preaching does not get quick results. So preachers often, now if you're a preacher, listen to what I'm saying. So preachers often depart from preaching Christ and start preaching national development. They start preaching economics. They start preaching business. Why? Because you see, they feel like if we can convince enough people to follow certain precepts, the nation will achieve certain things. No, it sounds nice. Now, if I wasn't criticizing it now, you probably would have thought it was a nice thing. So you think it is proper for churches to gather and organize national development summits. Are those summits bad? No. Should a pastor champion it? He has to be careful. It may have a time when it will be appropriate. But if you are doing it because you feel this is what we need, then it is wrong. There's a reason why the preaching of the gospel is called foolishness. And there's a reason why Paul said, I am not ashamed. I don't know whether you get my point. Why will you say I'm not ashamed? Because you will look foolish. Do you follow my point? Assume I'm going for a wedding and I wear the finest agbada in town. Do you get my point? I'm wearing the best wristwatch in town. I wear very nice shoes and I arrive in an S600. That's Mercedes-Benz. Will I tell you I'm not ashamed to go for the wedding? No, wait. Let's be honest. Will I tell you I'm not ashamed? If I tell you I'm not ashamed to go for this wedding, you'll be wondering like, sir, even if it's Dangote's daughter's wedding, you are appropriately attired. You look good. You can come. Sir, they will give you a seat in front. But if I wear jeans and t-shirt, and I wore canvas, and I arrive on my bike, an old one, so where are you going to? I'm going for that wedding. You are going like this? And I tell you, I'm not ashamed. No, it makes sense. You won't say, why shouldn't you be ashamed? When Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, it means when he preaches it, the reaction is that, what has that got to do with what we're talking about? The reaction will be, what has that got to do with what we're talking about? How would that put food on the table? I know you have heard it before. How would that help us? The preaching of the gospel causes shame because it usually on the surface does not look like, it will not look like the solution to the problem. Why should people be crying of hunger? I'm describing a man who died 2,000 something years ago. So he rose again on the third day. Did rice rise with him? Did beans come out of the grave? Oh, from the grave he arose with how many bread in his hand? How many loaves of bread? And you're there celebrating he arose. Listen, a normal, logical person will tell you a fool. And that is what the Greeks do. They will tell you that these Christians are foolish people. Paul will tell you, but for the solution of your problems, I preach Christ and him crucified. There's a stumbling block. Now, that's what happened to preachers. We now get carried away. We stop preaching Christ. So we come to church. 17 keys for effective regional and structural development. If you're in government, notice the things I'm preaching this morning. Because these are the things that the church does not understand. So we are many in number, but the nation is not feeling our impact because we don't know these keys. The laws of taxation according to the scripture. We bring everything out from the Bible to teach people practical steps for national development. You want to know the truth? It's pure backsliding. It's pure backsliding. What should you preach? And then they arrested him in the garden and then they beat him. There's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. And then he was falsely accused and Pilate sentenced him to death. Why did he sentence him to death? He didn't have a choice because he's the Lamb of God. Why did he go to the cross? For your sin and for my sin. Hallelujah. And he was in grave for 3 days. It wasn't 3 days the way we count it. It's the 3 days the way God counted it. 3 days and three nights. Hallelujah. On the third day, he arose. Somebody say amen. And he's never going to die again. Now, we have been saved. What has that got to do with anything? Believe me, that is everything. That is everything. If you're a preacher, you're listening to me, go back to this job. Talking one man of God, you know, yesterday or 2 days ago, I said that when one of our brothers was running for political office, wanted to be presidential running mate, that we used to gather in Kingdom and decree. Yeah. How many of you remember? A man is campaigning for something and we start here. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, he won't go far. You know, there were Christians who felt that if only Pastor Yemi Oshibaju had become the head of state, this country will have turned around. If you ever thought like that, you don't know anything. Did you hear what I said? The VP said he should go and there is a nice man. And nice men do some things. Remember those things that they do? And that's what he's doing right now. We thank God for his life. If you ever thought, it is when you have a Christian president or Christians in power that everything will become normal. I'm sorry to say you are grossly mistaken in this kind of country that you live in. And that is the reason why sometimes Christians gather, they want to sponsor political candidates. Christians, when you gather, preach Christ. Teach all your members how to practice righteousness. If they ever form a Christian political party, I forbid in the name of Jesus from joining them because of that. You can join them because of anything. But if you say, these are Christians, just leave them. They don't know how to play politics. God has not anointed them to do it. I can tell you that ahead of time. He did not anoint it. He didn't. So they do that thinking that their kingdom is of this world. Don't ever forget that. The kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of the church, is a kingdom that comes from above. You cannot engineer it through the worldly methods. You can't. You cannot do that. I know what I'm telling you. I'm talking to the preachers because I'm talking about whittling down the numbers and all of that. A lot of people they've gone home. They don't preach Christ anymore. Why? Because you see, the preaching of Christ really takes time to produce results. And you don't want to know the reason why? You know what they say, that what we need is structure. Have you heard that thing before? Have you heard it before?
Yes, sir.
What Nigeria needs is what? No. What I mean is, what do we say politically? What do we say? What Nigeria needs is what? There's a common buzzword. Somebody say it. Restructuring. Let me quickly help us, those of us who we are together in this word of God we are learning. Please, I beg in the name of Jesus, remove your faith from that thing. If you don't, when it comes, it will fail. You will hate it. It's a buzzword. I don't want to tell you about my political opinion now, so let me not get carried away. But one thing I can assure you, if Christians put their hope in it, it failed before it came. Human beings think that what we need is structure. And they'll be bragging. And if you get to America, it doesn't matter who's president. You see, they have a structure. So what we need is structure. You want to know the truth? It's a lie. And I mean that lie is a lie. When the gospel of Christ came, the gospel of Christ, when Jesus himself came, he didn't go towards the structure. He didn't go to trying to rearrange the structure. You know what he began to rearrange? Even before he came, he sent John the Baptist ahead. What was he arranging? Thank you. He was arranging the people. He was arranging the individuals. He was arranging the people. He was preaching, love your neighbor. He was preaching, forsake the living of the Pharisees. John the Baptist came with the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. When Jesus came, the crowd followed him. And everybody felt that if he can galvanize this crowd, if only he can galvanize his crowd, if he just bought that, oh God, we threw away the shackles of the Romans. He didn't do that. He looked at the crowd and said, you seek me not because of this, you are looking for food. He said, labor for food that endures to eternal life. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood. All of them left him. This party is not going anywhere. And finally, when I wanted to fulfill the reason for coming, he went to the cross and died. And to the rest of the world, he disappeared. Did you hear what I said? In case you did not know, he rose up from the dead. Only his disciples saw him. As far as the Pharisees were concerned, he died and went away. I hope you are aware of that. He didn't rise up and gagam. See, I told you guys, I'll be back. I'm back now. He didn't do that. He didn't. He rose up from the dead. He was showing himself to his disciples privately. So much did he do it secretly that the others were convinced that his body was stolen. What am I saying? The world looked at him. He came and disappeared. But he didn't have a problem. Why? As far as he's concerned, he will rise up again in the hearts of all those disciples. So return in the power of the Holy Spirit and endure them that as they are being changed, then they change their environment. People say they need structure. No, God said, no, I don't deal with structure. I deal with people. That is why you, pastor, please, forget this preaching of structure. Sometimes pastors hammer so much on structure. We have a structure in place. I hope not that structure, if it's taken over by demons, it will have just same effect. I don't know what my point. Of amplifying the effect of demons in that place. I hope you know, for Hitler to do what he did, he needed a powerful structure. And his structure worked. So Jesus does not deal with structure. I'm talking to pastors, please, especially. When you are going to church, do the foolish thing. What did I say? Do the foolish thing. What is the foolish thing? Preach Christ. Preach Christ and him crucified. Preach Christ and the ways of righteousness to the people. Preach Christ and just leave it like that. Preach Christ. Last election, no, I keep on referring to it. To me, one of the most shameful periods of Christianity in this country. People come to church and be telling us who to vote for. Telling how to thumbprint. I say, he? Somebody say, no, you need to guide people. In what? How to vote. If you guide them in righteousness, they didn't learn it. Then don't bother here. It will be of no effect. You should have guided them long before on the principles of righteousness. People turn the church... Hey, let's leave politics out for some time. You turn the pulpit to business... You know, this one, like, where you sell something. Our brother has something he just invented. All of us are going to patronize. Amen. With Christian networking. There are churches that have pyramid schemes. And if you're a pastor, I don't think your head is correct if you do pyramid schemes. Do you know why? Because you are stealing from your members for two or three of them to become rich. The rest of them are going to become poor. You are not creating any wealth. That's what happens when people use structure. Instead of preaching Christ. What Christ does is to transform people. Please. I'm talking to pastors for a moment. Pastors, listen to me, all right? So those of you who are not pastors, please forgive me, all right? In case you wonder what I'm talking about. Don't be ashamed to be alone in the preaching of Christ. Apostle, remember your friend that said that somebody told him, you are still preaching Christ now because you never hammer. Abi, is that not what he told him? That you have not yet seen money. When you see money, all this preaching of Christ will disappear. Fact. If you're one of those pastors that like plenty invitations, I can assure you, one of the ways not to get it is not to say that if you don't go and say what people want to hear, after two or three times, they will stop inviting you. Sit down there and be preaching this Christ we are talking about. You will not be popular. You know why? You won't draw crowd. You will not raise big money. I hope you're getting my point. But please, don't forget, God is reducing the number. Don't worry about it. Don't let anybody ever try to dissuade you from that position you have chosen. The time will come that you look over the whole city. You'll not be more than two or three who are preaching like that. And your church may not be big. Those are the temptations of life. Results is what they will preach to you. They will tell you terminate insults. They are right in one way anyway. The problem we have is when do you check the results? You can't check this thing until Jesus comes back. You can't tell me you have results just because the number of people in your church, all right, you now have 5,000 people. And me, I have only 250. And I say, you have results. You don't have results. Look, one pastor was preaching the other day. In fact, two, I have in mind now. I'm sorry to say, please. I mean no disrespect, even though it sounds disrespectful. And they were talking utter nonsense. All right? Two different people. And the congregation was excited. So I told apostle, I said, I'll be telling you people that most people who go to church, they are goats. They are not sheep. Yeah, I said, I won't say what the man said. If I said it here, you almost run out of here. Okay? It's like somebody released heavy, smelly gas in the air. All right? That's how bad. Yet, you see, people say, oh, wow! I said, this man just spoke rubbish. Yet, the massive congregation, they were getting excited. Whoa! It's like me coming to church and I tell you something like, no, that's not what he said. I just want to give an idea, okay? But I don't want to take your mind anywhere. Like I said, Jesus didn't rise up from the dead. The only thought he did. And everybody gets excited. Whoa! Pastor! And they were jumping. They were waving their hands. Hallelujah. Apostle was telling him that, sir. This is what I say. That's one word. Why were they excited? I said, because I've told you many times, a lot of people go to church, they are goats, they are not sheep. Real sheep will have waited and said, oh, God, finish. You are going somewhere. I don't know what I get my point. You know, there are things I will say, like the day I said, righteousness does not pay. You know, they're like, wait, finish it. My wife did play that trick with people. She put on her status, righteousness does not pay. Her sister sent her a message. Sis, how now? Is everything all right? She wanted to know. Ha! What happened? You are telling us righteousness does not pay. Now, wouldn't she have worried there and said, amen? That if the response she was getting, the whoa, hallelujah. Okay, she was playing a trick. So most people were waiting like, finish. What's the second status update? Of course, she finally finished it. That righteousness is not the means of gain. It doesn't pay financially. Do you get my point? That we do what is righteous, right because it is right. We don't do it because of the gain we will get out of it. You know the way we now go, thank you. I was wondering, when did this madam start backsliding? Yet, a pastor is there shouting, Jesus. Now, that's not what he said. He said something else. That Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And they were like, whoa, revelation, preacher. I said, what does that tell you? They were not listening. They did not listen yesterday. They've never listened. They just come to church to get excited. These things we are seeing, very important. So what's the point I'm trying to make? Don't ever be discouraged because you are now alone. You can be in an office, everybody has left you in doing what is right. One of our brothers once, he was standing for righteousness. So they called him to the office. Now, I can't remember his rank, but let's just assume an office that has, let's say, supervisors, and then managers, and then maybe the assistant general managers, and then GM. Just think about it, all right? So he was a supervisor, high ranking for his own level. So one day the manager called him and said, look, this is how we do this business. You do this and this. So the figures will rise, then we can get this cut and all of that. So he said, no, now. We can't do that. The manager said, no, I'm sorry. That's the only way we can do it. So there was now become a bit of threat, you know. We have to do it so we can get the things done. You don't want to change the figures. He said, no, I can't. Now, this is where I'm going. So he happened to have a relative or something, or a friend, somebody he knows, who's a very good Christian, preaches in Full Gospel Businessman Fellowship International, a Full Gospel, you know, office holder. And that person happens to be an assistant general manager. So what will he do? Common sense. He'll go and meet the man. One is a Christian, one is a friend, and is higher in rank than the manager. So I'm a supervisor. This manager is threatening me. I will go to the assistant general manager. Very powerful man, experienced. So he went there. He told the man what happened. When he finished, of course, you know what he expected to hear? Don't mind him. We'll stand. That one told him, say, my young brother, in this world, you have to be wise. The guy resigned the job. Why? He was so discouraged that, wait, excuse me. You are the one. You are my senior in the faith. Forget the office. You are a preacher. I know you. I know the office you hold. You go around preaching. Now it's time to stand for righteousness. You are telling me I have to be wise. He said, look, my brother, I'm just telling you this because you're my brother. It's not everything we do in the secret we say openly. This is how this business runs. If you don't do it, don't do it. What do you expect people to do? The person he thought would support him. He looked at the man. He didn't even know how to answer. You want to now start preaching to a senior? He went home, he thought and thought about it. He refused, of course. If you guys like, sack me. I will not do. Finally, he realized that, actually God called me to ministry. He resigned. He resigned. He went to ministry. He joined the church because they have been inviting him before to come and, you know, come to the church and become a minister. He said, I think God is now sending me there. He resigned and walked away. It was where he was preaching that I heard this. In fact, the way he said it, I wish you were there. The way the guy answered him, like, my brother, calm down. Let me give you the inside secrets. This is how we make it here. If you want to rise, you have to find a way to work with that manager and get that thing done. That one too has gone home. That's the point I'm making. 32,000, another one has gone. But I'm preaching this evening to the 300 that will remain. The fact that everybody is going home should not discourage you. Because God says, don't worry. When the time comes, I will deliver the kingdom to 300. I will deliver the kingdom through 300. I don't need the 32,000. See your church? You are plenty, I know. But most people are goats. They will not stand. When you see them falling one by one, don't be discouraged. When you see pastors fall, don't be discouraged. You know, let me tell something about pastors. You know, they are human beings. I hope you know that being a pastor is not a mark of spirituality. It's a mark of a calling. Some people don't understand that. If you say this person is pastor, this, you cannot be promoted to that position. It's not a hierarchical progression in Christianity. So you say, oh boy, you never become pastor. I don't think when you're born again now, it's not like that. Though. Yeah, the devil will reason like that. That is, I gave my life to Christ now in 2010. It's 14 years now, Abby. Very soon I'll be assistant pastor. Within 3 years, I will be a pastor. Especially, I've been paying my tithes, I've been giving my offering, I've been praying. It's not like that. You can give your life to Christ in January. By December, you are called to be a pastor. You may not have entered it fully, but you're already called. It's a calling. So you can be in a church. The pastor may not be the oldest person. He may not actually be the most spiritual. We're not doing spirituality contest though, but he may not be. Do you get my point? Look, just like you are in an office, all right? The chief engineer may not be the oldest man there. Do you get my point? One of the secretaries may be older than him. Then why is the secretary not the chief engineer? Because he's of age. It's not an age matter. I'm not an engineer. My job here is to make sure things run properly. I take good records. I make sure things run. So I'm a secretary. I am not an, in the same manner. So why am I emphasizing this? Even though because pastors preach, you expect a level of spirituality. When you don't find it, don't worry. Did you get my point? Don't be discouraged. Don't be disappointed. When the Bible says in the Bible, but he lied to him. He was a prophet. And he was a very senior prophet. You know, there are different kinds of prophets. There are prophets in training. There are graduated prophets. And then there are senior prophets. Now, that's a joke. But this was a senior prophet. It was senior to this young boy, the young prophet that God sent to Jeroboam. God had told that prophet, don't go back there. The old man went and said, God said you should come back. The Bible says, but he lied to him. Point, prophets lie. So if you catch a prophet lying, don't say they are all liars. It's not so. There are so many prophets that don't lie. Prophets are not supposed to lie. You know, Jeremiah lied at the time. Everybody remember when he lied? Who remember Jeremiah? He went to the king. I think it was Zedekiah, one of those kings. He told Zedekiah what God said. Zedekiah said, no problem. When you leave, my men are going to ask you what you told me. Now you will tell them this, this, and this, and this. And it was all a lie. When Jeremiah was leaving, the boys caught him. Say, prophet, come over here. And these are armed men. They cocked their gun. Prophet, tell us, what did God tell you? What did he say to the king? And Jeremiah repeated every lie that the king told him to repeat. Now Jeremiah is not a normal liar. It's those boys that wanted to be deceived, so they were deceived. All of you are looking like Jeremiah. He did. Do you remember that story? When I read it before, I'm like, what? Jeremiah, you couldn't stand for righteousness. You know what Jeremiah said? The anointing has finished for the day. I was tired. All of them are sinners anyway, so let them go and perish. The point I'm making is this, see. So if you catch a prophet, a pastor, you know, doing what is not right, that should not discourage you. Do you get my point? If you find a prophet lying, don't be discouraged. Now, I am not saying they are supposed to. If you are the prophet, don't lie. Do you get what I'm saying? If you are the prophet, what did I say? Don't lie. However, if you find out that the prophet lied, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't think that no human being can stand. You are the one that will stand and prove to the younger people that somebody can stand. By the way, small aside, that's one of the driving forces in my life. Yeah, personally, in my life. I just want to be a reference to encourage a young man. Yeah. A friend of mine once, he sat somewhere. This was in the United States. He's a Nigerian, of course. And people were yapping pastors, talk pastors to pieces. All these pastors are just, when they finish talking, say, maybe you guys are right too, but I know two that are not doing this for money. And he sent me a message. He said, I mentioned your name. I mentioned Pastor Courage. He said, these two people, I can swear, they are not doing this. You guys are accusing pastors of doing. He sent me a message that he was kind of saying that, look, you guys gave me a mouth to talk. That he was the one that sent me the message. So I mentioned your name and I mentioned Pastor Courage. It was in the US. People were talking up and I said, no, guys. I agree with you, but I know some. And they are my friends. These are their names. So for me, it's one of the things that, one of my driving, some people don't seem to. I hope you know people are watching you. You know, there's something that Peter said, let it be that when they say wrong about you, let it be a lie. If they want to persecute you, let it be falsely. Let it be that anything they are saying against you, that they are not true. So, I'm just trying to emphasize, listen, if you find somebody, a prophet lying, don't be discouraged. But if you are the prophet, what's it? Don't lie. But let's talk about the other one. Don't let anybody discourage you, because many people are falling aside. Many people are going away. God said, don't worry. How many are you guys say, Lord, we are 32,000? He said they will keep on falling back until you remain only 300. But I want you to be encouraged in that I don't need the 32,000. I will do with 300 what you thought we needed 32,000 for. I want to reason why I don't like 32,000. Okay, when they said that those who are afraid, go home. How many left? How many? More than half. What does that tell you? Most people are shouting, hey, 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 with you. They are afraid. Out of 32,000, 22,000 left. Did I say more than half? Is that not more than two-thirds? Yes. Two-thirds will have been, two-thirds of 30 will be what? 20,000. Yeah. So 22,000 out of 32,000 is a little more than two-thirds. So more than two-thirds left. What does that tell you? When you're in church, hey, 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 most people are afraid. And God said, I can't use these ones who are afraid. I can't. So when people are falling down by the side, one by one, especially since you all prayed together, you believed God together. Next time someone says, yeah, the way this country is good. In fact, one brother came to me once, long ago. Well, those early days, among those who used to study the word together, they one day called one of his friends, he lives in Europe now, say, how are you people surviving in that country? And I realized, now that I'm saying it, that it's among the 22,000. Do you get my point? Those of us who gathered, that's one of our what? 22,000. He sent a message to another person. I was the one teaching. He said, how are you people surviving in that country? You know how that one answered him? He said, the same God keeping you there. He can walk here too. I don't know whether he got that point. Now, he wasn't trying to preach faith. He was trying to actually give him a jab. He wasn't trying to preach faith to him. He was trying to tell him that shame on you. So basically, God is not the one keeping you there. Abi? That's what he was telling him, that by that statement, you are telling me, and why he said it, why he offended him, why he sent the message to me, all right? Because he told me about the conversation. He said, look at what this guy told me. I felt like saying, the master has departed from you. Yes, because his only said, look, we used to pray together. Actually, that was the person that dragged him to come and hear me teach. I don't know whether you get my point. It was the one that dragged and said, come, let's go and listen to this man teach. Then that person ran and said, how are you people surviving in that country? That one looked at him and said, hey, the same God that's keeping you there can keep us here now. Essentially telling him that you have forgotten that it's only God that can keep. Do you follow my point? That's one of the 22,000. It dropped. Listen, I know if you are not careful, and I'm happy I'm preaching this today, it can have an effect. Because the Bible says that iron sharpens what?
Iron.
So when iron refuses to sharpen you, you have to sharpen yourself. You know, it gets to that point. You have to sharpen yourself. You have to, get up and look and say, thank God, is iron sharpens what?
Iron.
So if you want to be sharpened, there's no other iron, what do you do? You sharpen yourself with the sword of the Spirit. Which is what? The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. He had to go and encourage himself in the Lord. Yeah, it gets to that point. Just look, there is nobody. Yes. I was telling Apostle just now as we were coming back. There is this big man of God. I won't mention his name, but you know who I'm talking about. When he saw me that day, he said, Banky, I'm very happy to see you. If you followed us to the hotel, you'll notice that we didn't come out of my car. I was the one that drove him away. We didn't come out from my car. The other people stood outside. We talked for more than 30 minutes. In fact, on that matter, over an hour, because we left there, went to his hotel room, we kept on talking. He said, I'm so happy. He said, I'm so happy to see you. He told me the things that burdened his heart in the last, He said, I didn't sleep this night. because of things that happened. So when he finished talking, I told him, sir, I understand. I told him some other things. He felt relief. Like, God bless you. God, he was so happy. Because after a while, he thought everybody had gone mad. So he found the same person. You can ask me at the end. He found the same person. So you understand? I said, I do. Good. You know, he said, now this is what we are going to do. He was now explaining some things to me. In fact, he started by saying that, thank you, you have work to do. I said, sir. Yes, sir. Like what? Sit down. He said, no. He said, let me tell you something. When he finished speaking, I said, sir, I understand. I said, actually, this is a confirmation for me that indeed these thoughts I've been having is of the Spirit. This instruction you are giving now. He said, oh, so nice talking to you. So I know that it's very important that you... Now, let me put it this way. This way you look at spiritual things, all right? It's important that you sharpen other people. But if you don't find anybody to sharpen you, please, do what? Sharpen yourself with the sword of the Spirit, which is, after those who are supposed to sharpen you, they had better be using the sword of the Spirit. They should come and rub their bald head on your body. Are you getting my point? Sharpen the sword of the Spirit. And use it to sharpen you. Do you get my point? So I'm just saying it because sometimes you can get to an office, then you just come and say, somebody you and him used to eat together and discuss the issues of the country. Now the person don't run. No, say, man, I don't know where this country they go. Now you think of all the years you have joined hands to pray. Have you ever been through that? Say, but me and this guy used to pray together. But we used to believe God for these things. And the same person, you know, suddenly it's as if they pull the rug from under your feet, you stagger. Again, you wonder, is there something wrong with me? What I'm preaching today is, don't worry, 32,000 is going down to 300. So when somebody drops out of fear, don't be angry. Say it's one of the 22,000. It's gone. It's one of the 22,000. He's gone. You remain standing. Remain standing. Don't be discouraged. That's the point I'm making. Don't let anybody discourage you. God is counting. Look, God didn't say I will deliver them by 100 people. He didn't want to use 100. He wanted to use 300. What am I going to say? Don't make yourself unavailable when we get to number 300. Do you get what I'm saying? Tell yourself, I'll be among the 300. I will remain standing. I will not be afraid. I will learn the precepts of the king. Because in the next set, they were removed because of the way they mishandled the affairs of life. When they were in need, what did they do? When they were thirsty, how did they drink water? When challenges came upon them, how did they react? That's how they were removed. They were not afraid. They just didn't know the right precepts to use for certain issues in life. So they were dropped. So many people till today, like I said to you earlier about pastors, they mean well. I remember one man of God was talking about some, you know, issues came up. So I was there when he was preaching. About other ministers. He said, these people meant well. These things they are doing, they meant to help people. They meant to help people. Sorry, I'm laughing. It was what that man said to me. He says, I see all of them. He said, they are nice people. He said, they are nice people, but they are sorcerers. He said, these people are all sorcerers. He told me about two men of God who are quarreling. And that they need to reconcile. He said, it's not as if I have such a high regard for the way they behave. He said, they are both sorcerers. But he recognized that they are ministers of the gospel. And they need to reconcile themselves and stop this noise. He said, but look, if it's ministry work, they are sorcerers. Now, the other man, I'm not giving you names. Some of the names you will recognize, some of you will not know, even if I were to tell you. I was there when one of my was preaching. It was many, many years ago, not today, more than 20 years ago. And he was talking about things like this. Now, this sorcery is what I'm talking about. That many people enter into sorcery, not because they wanted to do what is wrong, but because they wanted to help people. Remember that clown in that new movie? Said that faith comes by hearing. But these people, they don't want to hear. They want to see. How many of you have said that? You must have said it. Say they don't want to hear. They want to see. So we arrange miracles to boost their faith. He said, we help God so he can help people. Those are the people drinking water wrongly. They are drinking water on their knees. They push their head into the stream to drink. So God will drop them. This is what I was talking about. He said, look, this is what they are doing that they are being criticized for. He didn't agree. He said, but they meant well. They wanted, according to him, they wanted to help people. So they started trying to arrange miracles. Now, that was not happening. There's something else. They started trying to arrange miracles to boost their faith. They are helpers of God. They help God so he can help them. So they lie. They were not afraid. They just handled the waters wrongly. So God had to drop them. Again, when you see people like that, don't be discouraged. There was a time in this country, I was much younger at that time, churches were growing very rapidly. They all used the same methods. So the methods worked. Then I remember one man. Can I even remember which particular person now? Yes, I think it's the one that I said preached year by year. Remember that 1 year message I referred to once in a while, year by year? I think the same person. Years later, I was in that church. I was talking to one young man. Ah, he said, that man's church used to be big. Oh. He said, now the church is small. I said, what happened? He said, the man said, God spoke to him that the way he's going is not building the people up. So he started preaching the different sets of messages, and the church went down. And they were feeling sorry for him. Years later, I remembered that. I said, God just saved his ministry. Because there was a way everybody was going. They all did the same. It was almost a competition of how many services you had. Messages started getting short. There was a time. It came into vogue. Look. You know, my message became very long in recent years. I'm trying to shorten it again. But when it was getting long, I was getting happy. Yeah, partly because I said, growing ministry by shortening the message is not my portion. In Jesus' name, it's not my portion. Billy Akon is my friend in Jesus' name. Chris Delvan is my friend in Jesus' name. Yes, these are men that when they start, you better have the fruit of the Spirit to hear them to the end. These are men that will stand for 2-3 hours. That's a 3 hour, 2 hours, sorry. I meant 3-5 hours they are preaching. You're on your own. I remember one day waiting for Pastor Delvan in Benin. I think he missed his flight, so he had to come by road to Benin from Abuja. I arrived at night. Then I was the president of my alumni fellowship. So I just told the brethren that, please, we're going to take a break so we can go and have our dinner. And then the man of God will go and rest. Then when he has rested, we will now gather. Please, just be patient and gather. Then they whispered to me, shh, 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 shh. Because he was on the way. Their car had an issue. So we had sent rescue vehicles to go and get him out while they fixed the other car. So they told me, no, that he said, as soon as he arrives, he's mounting the pulpit. Bread never chop. So I do, brethren, please, everybody calm down, relax, sit on your seat. And shortly after he arrived, having been on the road for nothing less than 7-8 hours, that cloth where he take arrive, he entered inside the hall, he sat down in front. We did finish, introduced him, everything, grabbed the microphone, and kept us there till 3 a.m. Yeah, he started preaching around to 10. Now, he has been on the road. He entered, carried the microphone, and started preaching. And finally said the grace. At 3 a.m., I went to go and look for the food. Those are my mentors. The godly ones of the land, they are my true heroes. Now, the point I'm making, so there was a time, all right, everybody was shortening messages, 30 minutes, the faster church can grow, can have more services. Well, let's put it this way. A lot of people were dropping on their knees to drink water. And God said, from this 10,000, we are going down to 300. That man I was telling you about, he refused to do that. He brought out the old time message, began to preach, and church went down in number. He said, but this is what God said I should be preaching. I'm not here to count the number. I must be preaching what God said I should be preaching. So one of my union colleagues today, I said, oh, but how are you doing? Are you still around? He laughed. I said, are you planning to run? He said, God, we still deal. So I said, you still deal? Still. It's not I deal. But what? I still deal. So I said, come. What do you mean by still deal? Are you planning to? He said, oh, God, things are rough. I said, things are rough. He said, yes, sir. I said, let me tell you something. And I'm just telling you what I told him earlier today. I said, let me tell you something. Make up your mind, first of all, what you want to do with your life. Make up your mind what you think is the right thing for you to be doing. I said, the roughness can be fixed. I said, you don't rearrange your life because it is rough and miss the direction you are going. I said, as for the rough, we'll fix it. But first of all, ask yourself, what am I supposed to be doing? What do I want to? I said, in life, what do I want to be? I mean, because in life, what's more important about life is that you are an influence in people's lives. That's the most important thing about life. I can assure you of that. If you let food, hunger, things that we will eat, what shall we eat, drink, with what shall we clothe ourselves, take you away from that. When you want to come back, you'll be surprised. There will be no space. I don't know, look, go and determine your sphere of influence. The things that area which you think you can be influential in life. Now, we're not always correct, but at least you must have the right thought process. I said, when you have thought about that, I said, then we can fix the things that are rough. I won't give you details of what I gave him now, because we're not talking church matter at that point in time. Because if he's a Christian, there are other, preaching the word of God. There's some other things I will have said. But generally, I told him, listen, if it is money, I gave him one or two ideas on how to get money. I said, okay, maybe the pressure people like you have is that I want to build a house. I said, look, do this. You will get enough money, buy a plot of land, build two twin duplexes inside there, and then rest. I said, because in this life, you can't continue to pursue money the rest of your life. One day you come, you look at the money, you will hate it. You know, you can have so much money, it will smell. You just be angry. She'll be like, what? Okay, so, and you are thinking, okay, the money is plenty. What am I now doing with it? You build houses, you are not the one living inside there. You know all these houses, extensive houses you are building. You know, look, it's not for you. How do you know it's not for you? If you've been in the village, it's initially for rats and cockroaches and, you know, snakes. Uh-huh. All right? Then after a while, it's for your cousins that drink and smoke. Yes? That's what happens. Because after a while, you don't want the rats. So you are forced to let a human being in. You leave the key so that you can be keeping the place clean. Then the guy will look after a while. Say, how far now? Occasionally, you just want to sleep where it's not feeling where it's your bed. Enter your master bedroom and lie down there. One of my guys, his father has one big house like that in the village and put one big generator. And the guy they put there said to go and put a fuel. No, wanted to put water in the radiator. Is it fuel she put in the radiator or put water in the tank? Anyway, the engine knocks. Fact. See? It really happened. Somewhere in Imo State. The girl just, and his girl is a relative. What do you go? Do you want to kill him? And they were, who told you to start the generator? Just go there. The engine just knocked, sha. Big generator, engine spoil. Because she didn't know the difference between radiator cap and fuel tank. Just open one, pour something. One of our friends. It's the father's house. So what, look, you don't want to see the party they are holding in your house in the village. Before you come, they will clean it. Don't worry. I know people. Let me not mention. Because there are people I know well. People, they left the house from the village when they want to go. When they are on Beshit orphanage, they will come there, open the door, collect Beshit, carry go to their house. When they are on television spot, they come there, open the door, collect television, carry go to their own house. Why? Ah, the house is locked here now. So what I'm going to say, don't kill yourself. So I'll put tenants. You build the house for tenants. They are not giving you money worth the effort you put into it. You know. And when they pack it after 5 years, the money you used to renovate it, Bishop, the last 2 years already, you are using to put the house back in shape. At the end of the day, you have labor. Look, other men labored. Those guys came and entered into their harvest. They don't. Look. So all this running up and down, it's not carrying you anywhere. So I told my guy, I said, listen, relax. Make up your mind. Which direction you think your life should take? I said, as for the roughness of life, we'll fix it. And that's it's an important principle for Christians. Don't let the roughness. Look, listen. We travel once in a while. Okay? We travel once in a while. We don't change direction because of the quality of the road, do we? If I'm supposed to go to Port Harcourt from here, I'm going to Port Harcourt from here. I won't say the road to Port Harcourt is bad. I now face Makurdi, which is a worse road, by the way. I wouldn't do that. Maybe on my way to Port Harcourt, they say, you're going to Port Harcourt. Have you seen the new Abakiliki road? You will pass there. You are on your way to Cross River. Say, what are you doing in Port Harcourt? I beg. Go to Tarshish. Instead of going to Nineveh. Even with, who does that? Suddenly get and say, the road to Abakiliki is better. So I travel on that road. No, I don't do that. I say, face Port Harcourt. If they say, this one is bad, you turn, enter the bush. You know, you enter the villages, come out in front. You just continue to manage. I mean, we used to go to Port Harcourt quite often. That we go and do seminars. We've not been there for the last 1 year or so or more. Okay? Between Aba, I learned, look, it's the short distance, once you get to Aba, you know Aba, once you cross Aba, if all things being equal, from Aba to Port Harcourt is like 20 minutes drive, right? Yeah, all things being equal. I know the last year went, it was 6 hours. I've been talking about normally. All of you are keeping quiet or you don't go anywhere. Those of you who use that road, what's the current situation? But normally when things are okay, it's 20-something kilometers. All right, it's not really far. Once you leave Aba, to get into Port Harcourt is not a long distance. Uh-huh. But just before we get into Aba, we turn right and travel for over 1 hour. Passing through, you know, turning here, turning there, good road, bad road, everything. Why? We must get to Port Harcourt. We saw the shorter one, that is distance-wise, that you couldn't pass it safely. The car will spoil. You will sink somewhere. You may get stuck there for 5 hours. So we take a detour. But we never said because of that we are going to Abakiliki. But when it comes to real life, people do that. This direction of my life, oh, but the road is rough. Like that my guy told me, Oga, things are rough. Things are rough. I said, in summary, I said to him, are you going to change the direction of your life because things are rough? I said, first, go and locate the direction of your life. Then you will sit down and say, how do I go over the rough road? Because eventually, you must reach where you are going. That's what God ordained it to be. Please, I hope I get my point. That's an aside. But the main thing I'm trying to say is that, listen, as we are going on these journeys, occasionally, 10 of you went to sleep last night. To continue the journey, you wake up in the morning, say 5 have gone back. Why? The road is too rough. I came to tell you today, keep going. You continue going, you are 5. Then 2 people said, no, please, we are too tired, we can't go anymore. Let's build our tabernacle here. I've come this evening to tell you what? Keep going. God said, I want only you to get there. Another point I should remind us of, which we have taught about so many times. And that's the fact that, listen, you have to look at life as if you are the only one. Do you get my point? And sometimes you are the only person. God didn't send 2 Jesus Christ into the world. I hope you are getting my point. There was only 1 John the Baptist. Don't think if I don't announce the coming of the Lord, somebody else will. No. And don't think if I don't go to the cross, the Father will find somebody else. It doesn't always work like that. It does not always work like that. It does not always work like that. In fact, many things that God wants to do, you know, there's something he said. Let me just quickly quote that. When he was lamenting about the lack of intercession. From Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. Look at something he said in verse 30. It's a portion we all know, all right? I just want to bring something out from there. A whole nation was in trouble. A whole nation has something wrong with them. Let me just back up to around from verse 23. I will jump until I get to verse 30, which is actually where I want to read. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. He said, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in her midst, like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured lives. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in the midst of her. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. He said, her princes, verse 27, I jump to 27 now. Her princes within her are like wolves tearing the prey by shedding blood and destroying lives in order to get dishonest gain. Her prophets have smeared whitewash for them, seen false visions and divining lies for them, saying,
Thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. He said, the people of the land have practiced oppression and committed robbery, and they have wronged the poor and needy, and have oppressed the sojourner without justice. We just wanted to get to verse 30. In the midst of all of this, God said, I search for a man. How many?
One.
How many?
One.
How many?
One.
He said, I search for a man among them who will build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I will not destroy it, but I found no one. Thus I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought upon their heads, declares the Lord. Now what we want to just bring out from here is that in this particular situation, God needed how many intercessors?
One.
Just one. But this is the striking part. How many did they find?
None.
None. See, let me say something again about satanic strategy. It's our school of prayer, so let me just get this out clear. I'd like to talk about Satan, not because I like him. He's not my friend. Are you getting my point? We don't like each other. We actually hate each other. That's the proper word. Okay? But I need to talk about him once in a while because many people who think they hate him, they are befriending him. Do you get my point? They succumb to him, but they pray in what they call resistance to him because they don't know how he operates. Satan operates just one way. Okay, let me put it like this. He employs everything as tricks. Okay? What I mean is this. He wants you out of the garden. He can't kick you out. He can't threaten you. He can't push you out. He can't. The only thing he can do, because he knows the law, he knows how it operates, he will go and say, this guy can't go out except he breaks the law of God. So he'll come and talk to you so that you will break the law of God. Has God really said you should not eat of that tree? If the day we touch it, you will not surely die. Then he talks until you agree to eat it. He can't even force you to eat it. But he can lie to you about the consequence of eating it. Better take care of yourself. Oh. This is not the country you'll be waiting for somebody to take care of you. When Paul said that, be careful for nothing, you know he was not writing from Nigeria. Like somebody said, the problem with these Christians of these days, the person said, is that they take letters not written to them. So where do you say you read the letter of Paul to the Nigerians? It's to the Galatians. Are you from Galatia? So the Ephesians, are you from Ephesus? So you take what was not written to you. I thought it was the craziest joke of last week. I read it last week. Are you from Thessalonica? No, why are you not reading the letter to the Thessalonians? So you now want to use to cause problem in Nigeria. That's what Satan talks to people, tells people. When he said, don't be anxious about anything. That guy had good roads. The health insurance system in Rome was working. You remember I was a Roman citizen. Be careful for nothing was not written to you. It was written to the Philippians. Do you look like somebody from Philippi? Who the boy like you? You are from Enugu. You are not from Philippi. So you, be careful for everything. Many people actually listen to Satan. That is where he gets his power from. He tempts people like he did Eve until they agree with him. Don't ever forget it. Again, now I just wanted to use as an illustration. Please, I need to add this illustration again. One of the ways he used to catch people is he labeled people their enemies. Any church where they are labeling enemies for you, they are working for Satan. They want to destroy your life. I will say that again. Once they start labeling, especially your friends and relatives, as your enemy, they are working for Satan. That's what they do. That's what they do. If anybody ever told you that your mother is a witch, he's a false prophet. What did I say? If you are listening to me, they told your mother is a witch. That person that said is a false prophet. Pastor Banky, there are witches, so I know. I'm saying your own mother is not a witch. And if she were a witch and you were a Christian, she can't do anything to you. So it's one of two things. Either you are a bad Christian or she's not a witch. It's not, do you know, there's no other way. If they ever label your mother as, even your stepmother, the same thing, no? Some of you, your mother is gone. The stepmother you have. They've now told you your stepmother is a witch. I hope you know it's the same thing. You know why?
Because there's a commandment which Paul reiterated for us, that you must honor your father and your mother. Now, when Satan wants to kill you early, he said, don't honor this one. She's a witch. He's not going to go to the judgment throne and say, you know, she's because she's a witch. That's why. No. You say, this one does not honor his father, does not honor his mother, so he can't live long, and while he lives, it will not be well with him. And God will have no choice but to say, I judge accordingly. Because you broke the rule. Don't ever forget it. All those of you are following. Sorry, please, I'll get back to my message. Remind me what I was talking about. If I surgery of Satan. Those of you are giving your money to prophets who are praying for you. You know, you're a bloody. Is there another way? I think I won't be saying bad thing, but this one, it hurts my body. When people are broke, you know why? Their whole money has gone to prophets so you can pray. Any prayer you have to pay for, it doesn't work. Why did I call the person bloody something? I want them to get angry and repent. You can't be using money to fan the flame of prayer in a prophet's house. Are you okay? Okay, let me look you on that one. Your head is not correct, though. That's what I'm going to do. I won't use bloody something again. You know why I talk like this? People do it. You know the funny part? Okay, let me not say the funny part. I won't say it. Okay, use that money. Go and be buying books. Use that money. You know, listen to messages. Go for a retreat. Put yourself in an expensive hotel. Buffet breakfast. All right? Or buffet dinner. Don't eat in the morning so you can fast. Buffet dinner. Sit down there and, you know, relax and feel the ambience. Get a nice Bluetooth speaker and feel the ambience with the word of God instead of giving the prophet the money. If any prophet ever tells you that they're about to break fast, send money for breaking fast. Just know that your brain has rotted away. It's not working again if you send that money. There's somebody my wife met once. Said they were sick. The woman was sick. They gave her the name of a pastor. They called this pastor to pray for it. They called the pastor. The pastor said, prayer now 1 million. I can't exact the exact figure. But at the end of the day, they pay 350. Is it not 350 they pay? They were begging the man. I think it's like another woman of 500,000. They were begging the man. They were on the phone. He said, God, please. He said, what kind of pastor do you think I am? The guy provoked. Finally, they arrived at 350,000. And they transferred the money. And he said he will be praying. He didn't even see them. It's business. I kid you not. This really happened in Enugu. I didn't know people in Enugu behave like that. I thought you have to go to some, maybe Port Harcourt or Lagos before see people like that. Those of us in Enugu here, I thought we were closer to God than all of this. It actually happened. Mother, they transferred the money. They didn't know they never met the prophet. Though. Somebody just, an agent, gave them. An agent, give them the number. You know, please, some of you don't be angry with me. When I preach the way I preach, I just want to stop this nonsense. You wire money to a prophet to pray for you. And you did. I understand that you are desperate. Yeah, because when people are desperate, they grasp at anything. That's the problem. So that's why I need to talk, so that you won't do it again. The woman gets well. No, she didn't. I can. She didn't get well. By the way, she didn't get well. Didn't get anything. Please, let's stop this funny thing. All right? Stop these prophets. They will start preaching good word. If they realize that the money is in good word. Stop them. You can't be sending money to somebody. I'm talking to some people. Every month now, you are sending money somewhere because they claim they are praying for you. You are being scammed. You may as well buy, you know, tap coin. Which one that you want to tap in these days? Everything is a scam. You know, and you get my point? Everything is a scam. Please, I'm begging you in the name of the Lord. Stop that thing. You need to stop it. Never use your money to buy prayer. Ever. Those of you, you know, you have to keep correcting people because you don't know how stubborn human beings can be. I've warned you, those of you who said you know you are paying tithe and holding the transfer certificate. You now pile it when you want to pray. Yeah, you know, before they say hold the check stubs. There's no check again now in Nigeria. Anybody see they use check? Some people are just no dinosaurs. They still must use that check, sha. Well, Nigeria, we hardly do, okay? These days. So before, they say keep the check stubs. But now, it's transfer. It's receipt, you know, the bank transfer receipt. Now, some of people go and print it itself. And now bind it. And put it on their prayer altar. They call over, yeah, no, so be, they are pointing to the different receipts with which they gave God money. And he must say to, all I can say, please stop it. If you don't stop it, God will get angry. He's been patiently enduring you for a long time. Foolishness is annoying to him. He's been patiently enduring you for a long time. So any good thing you do, don't forget it. You bring it to God. Say, God, are you at home? I need to see you. That widow that couldn't eat or pay school fees, I paid. So God says, so how can I help you, sir? I hereby demand you multiply it. Say, yes, boss. I say, if I sound. Please, let's stop that nonsense. What did I say? Stop that nonsense. It's very crucial we stop that rubbish. Okay? It's very, very important. Please, I keep on going over it because occasionally you stumble into people and you hear things. Say, somebody did that. Somebody did that. Please, stop it. It doesn't work. You give to the poor, you can't go to God and claim refund or multiplication. You can't. If you try it, you will suffer for it. You tithe and give offerings of first fruits. It doesn't change anything. Are you getting my point? The devourer will not run away because of that. You're not the first title for him to devour. Are you following my point? Some people say, hey, but the Bible says, we won't discuss that one. I'm just telling you what will happen to you. If you want to pray, ask God for anything. Ask in the name of Jesus and beg. Like daddy, good morning, daddy. Daddy, good morning. I like the way my daughter even does this. Just say, daddy, I'm broke. I said, my money has finished. I'm like, what? It has finished now? Like, can't you see it has finished? She has never told me what she did for me. Just send message, you. Not even a phone call. The correct daddy. The ultimate daddy. Daddy like no other daddy. Husband to my mother. Father to my brothers. And my own father too. You know, that's why we like to wind up, praise and small. Before asking for money, just send a one line message. Hey, daddy, I just saw that my money has finished. The Lord is good. Just go to God and tell him, God, I beg. Money has finished. Ego, agugu. Don't finish. So God says, you are the father. I'm the son. You are the shepherd. I'm the sheep. You are the rich. I'm the child of the rich. The king's kid. So you are high up there. I dey here. What are the flow? Money go flow. Say, Father, I hereby open the tap in the name of Jesus. My father is rich. Don't ever forget that. When you want to pray, our father who is rich in heaven. Start it like that. That's how they ask God for things. That's an aside, okay? An aside should remind me where I was, all right? Yes. They are good. I remember, though, but I wanted to see whether you remember. Good. Satan's strategy, listen, this is what he does. Like I said, discouraged, you know, he tempted Eve. Eve forgot. The laws of God began to obey Satan. Satan gained upper hand in their family and scattered everything in the garden. So what he does a lot of times is to discourage people. He will tell you, you are the only one. I've come to give you a word today. Answer him, that's enough. Did you catch that? I'm not saying tell him it's enough talk, but what? You are the only one is enough. Only me am enough. Let me tell you something about Nigeria before I go. I know I'm going to sound arrogant, but I magnify my ministry. Nigeria must be peaceful. It must be blessed. It must flourish. if only for my sake. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm the only person, it's enough. So that's why, because I know that, God says, Banky, see, the things that you have learned, continue in them. Don't let anybody discourage you. Don't let anybody make you look like you don't know what you are doing. The things that you have learned as righteousness, the things you have learned as faith, the things you have learned as faithfulness, just continue in them. Don't change. Don't change. Don't change your mind, even if you are the only person remaining. Because there are times like that. God says, I'm not looking for two people. I'm looking for one. There are times like that. In this particular situation, he told them, all these troubles, I just need one man to stand. Go and check. When Amos said, I saw the Lord preparing a swarm of locusts at a particular time in the harvest, when the king's share had just been removed, I realized that the whole land is going to go hungry. So I said, Lord, how will Israel survive? She's so small. Please forgive. And only Amos prayed, and God held that plague back. Please, let me say this one. If you go to, look, don't join unbelievers to pray. When I say unbeliever, I don't mean non-Christians. Christians who don't believe. Mark them during the day. When they call for prayer, don't join them. Whiners, grumblers, people who don't believe in the sovereignty of God upon the land. When they call for prayer, don't go. They will weaken your faith and pray on your own. If you find those who really love the Lord, who understand the truth we have been preaching from Scripture, then join hands with them and pray. But because many times I see people, one day somebody say, hey, we all belong to one chat group. I see not the person they talk to. I say, I'm starting a prayer chat group. Click this link to join. Say, you're not serious. This link is hereby corrupted. Go and join your own belief to pray about what? If necessary, pray all by yourself. See, power failure nationwide yesterday. Don't cross your leg and be waiting for it to recover naturally. Assume that only you need to talk to God to restore it. It's an important assumption. It's a crucial assumption. Don't just expect things to talk. Listen, anything you see physically. Now, don't assume they are natural plays, though. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. Now, in this our country, we had some issues over the last 2 days. Yesterday, yeah, until today, right? NLC decided to go on strike, okay? Now, we can't quantify the billions of naira lost. Yeah. International flights couldn't land. They were diverted to neighboring countries. Yeah, they couldn't. They were sending them to neighboring countries, which meant that the airlines, whether dump you there and go back, but they have a contract with you, you probably have to wait. Maybe they put in a hotel. People, do I need to tell you the number of engagements people missed? My brother, Isokoto, is doing a program. I know the amount of money I spent on tickets. We were missing their flights. Of course, nothing was flight. Nobody was flying. The amount of fuel we burnt needless. I had not put on generator in my house. I don't know in how many months. So, it looked like a small thing. Let me just give you my political opinion on some things. Ports were shut down. Some schools had to drive children home because they didn't want to fight. Let's hope nobody got injured in a traffic accident on the way home and back. When you see things like that, there are accusations in the spirit. There. Don't get into argument with minimum wage or maximum wage. Don't get into those arguments. Just realize that you are dealing with spiritual forces raging against your possession. Take it like that. It's my land, it's my place, it's where I live, and where else am I going to go? I don't want to run. I'm not a running man. So the one that God has given me, I will collect it by force. Someone else starts their shenanigans. NLC, Abby? NLC, when they start their shenanigans, them and federal government, I start my kneeling things. And let me explain something to you again. Don't ever forget. You don't ever stop praying. We prayed about something yesterday. Matter comes up again. Whichever way, pray with all manner of prayers. Even if only Thanksgiving. If you say, I don't want to repeat the prayer, then go into Thanksgiving. Father, I thank you because we have claimed this land. Thank you because you heard us when we prayed last year and the year before. We ask you for peace. We know you have given it in the name of Jesus. Therefore, that peace that you have given, we declare it. Jesus said, I thank you because you have heard me. Yet he spoke, Lazarus, come forth. So I speak to peace. Come forth in the name of Jesus. I speak to order. Come forth. Don't ever stop. I was talking about Satan's strategies. One of the strategies, you just discourage you. Say, you don't talk calm before now. Did it work? I will talk calm again. Remember, if I want to tell you you're alone, he said, that is enough. It's okay, but you have prayed before, and I say, I will pray again. I will never stop praying. I will pray without. It is written, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Satan doesn't have the kind of power people think he has. All he does is to trick people. Trick you away from the position of prayer. But let me end it with this. Let's talk about Nigeria for a moment. You know, sometimes I have political opinions, but I don't want to share them because it will take away from the word I'm preaching, okay? So let me see how I can go around my political opinion or my political prediction. Because some of my predictions have been coming to pass. Not prophecy. Say, prophesy, papa, prophesy. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not prophesy. I'm a Sunday school teacher. You remember that one? I'm a Sunday school teacher. Is that okay? Uh-huh. So, but they are predictions. Okay? I just watch a pattern, especially with this government. I say, watch it, they are likely to do this. And it's happening, okay? So, as a child of God, don't ever hope in anything physical as a solution to this country's problem. Don't. Pray your own. Just leave the rest. Do you get my point? Because, let me give you an example. When I'm discussing with people sometimes, I talk about state police. That's one of them. I said that, look, state police is going to happen. That's one of the things. It was a prediction, not a prophecy. I just watched it, okay? And of course, you saw if you've been following things, you see that, yes, it's about to, I know, this current head of state, it is signed. If you pass a bill in the morning, he signs it by evening. He doesn't have any, is there a former guy that can keep a bill for 6 months and you're wondering, you know when this current head of state took office, in the first few days, he was signing bills into law. So I called one of our guys, I said, please excuse me, I don't understand. Why are they signing this bill into law? Was there an arrangement that he used it to start? No. He said the other organer saw in the leave bill unsigned. That is just a personal habit. This is our current head of state. He can sign bill. They will pass it 12 noon. They bring it to him by 3. He goes sign. You know they wait. Unless he doesn't. Look, once he has agreed with you, as soon as he. So if they pass that thing today, the guy will sign it tomorrow morning. Now, this is what I'm watching. I've said it before that this state police thing will happen. Then I fell for a temptation, but I've quickly recovered. I began to predict that if you have state police, somewhere like Amotekun, you know Amotekun in the West, they are all over the place, all right? That instantly they will get better weapons, they will change their uniforms, and then they will drive all the bandits and killer headsmen out. Then there will be peace. I began to predict like that until this reality happened. Will you shut your mouth? Woe to the one who trusts in flesh. Who makes the arm of flesh his strength? He will not see good when it comes up. So I quickly reversed my prayer. State police, national police, local government police, or personal police. All I want is the peace of God that passes all understanding. You know, Dangote's refinery, when it comes on stream, or come on water, I don't care. Thank God, the thing is working. I mean, at least for whatever it is. Now, we can now beat our chest that we now export refined products. Nigeria has not said that in how many years? Last week, a shipload took aviation fuel to Europe. Came to Nigeria, filled the ship with aviation fuel, and took it to Europe. Yeah, we now, at least, is that not good? Yeah, it is. It's good. I thank God for that. I mean, I said now, we're now, from importing refined products, we have now reached a point where we're now exporting refined products. We thank God for it. But I told myself, listen, I will not hope in that for recovery of this nation. I'll keep on hoping in God. The moment you put your eyes on something that he's using, that thing becomes an idol. And there's one thing God does to idols. He judges them. He judges idols. He judges idols. So I told myself, state police, original police, there's another, you've heard it, you know, restructuring issue. Now the argument now that Lagos will say we will not be part of a regional government in the West, too. Lagos, nah, Lagos. We say we know. That's what I told them in my heart. We know. You, people have come. Lagos people. Well, it was in the news yesterday. That is, no, regional government, count us out. Don't lump up with Western Nigeria. No, we are not. So the thing is being mooted now, regional government. Some people say, yes, when regional government comes, I'm begging you as a Christian, don't say it. Because if you continue, if it comes, I'm not saying it will come. If it comes, it will bring more problems than solutions. And not because it's natural, but because God has to judge your idol. So I'm not saying don't plan. If you're a politician, please plan. I'm not saying don't think something is good. You can think it is good. Please. Israel, hope in the Lord. That's what I'm saying. People of God, hope only in the Lord. Never hope in any other thing but the Lord. So, Elijah Dangote is exporting refined products. We thank God for his life. We pray for him, pray for his company. Then we hope in the Lord for good in the land. Because regional so state police or no state police, if God drives away all the bandits and killer headsmen, weren't you happy? When they were not there, did you have state police? I always say, don't tell God how to solve your problems. Tell them the problem you want solved. How is his problem? You just tell him the problem you want solved. Don't ever. Bible says, Israel, hope in the Lord. Don't hope in one king. Don't hope in one method of war. Don't hope in any other thing. But in the Lord. That's the duty we have as Christians. Let me summarize everything I've said today. Like I said, I just want to encourage our hearts. If Satan says, you are the only one still there, what do you say to him? That's enough. Say yes. Only me, that's enough. I'm enough. It's very important. Don't be discouraged from doing that which is right. Somebody says, you are the only one. Say, it's enough. That's me. I'm enough. And bow down your heads and give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, my prayer is make me one of the 300. Let fear not drive me away like the 22,000. Let me not drink the water wrongly. It's an important prayer. So, Lord, let me be found faithful. Say, Lord, let me be found faithful. Lord, let me be found faithful. So that when you come into Sodom and Gomorrah, you want to count 10, I'm one of them. We are looking for one to stand in the gap in the land. Let me be found available. It's very important. How are you made available? By constantly walking in righteousness and having hope. I've said it again and again. Don't lose hope for anybody. Don't lose hope for anybody. Do not lose hope for any reason. Don't let anybody talk you out of hope. What is hope? Expectation of good. Expecting any time for good to happen to you. Expecting any time for God's, miracle to happen in your life. Expecting any time for peace to surround you, even though currently you have trouble. Don't lose hope for anybody. And remember that counsel I gave. Don't change your life because things are rough. Determine where you are going and solve the roughness with prayer. When I say don't change your life, I mean don't change, location. Don't change your path. Stick with the word of righteousness. Stick with what you know. We are not always right, so we keep on praying. But don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of suggestion on how to solve the roughness of life. Don't. Ask the Lord to solve it for you while you remain firm in the place, in the thing that you believe he called you to do. Very important. Just give the Lord thanks.